And you're all very welcome. And as I've said, I've got Steve helping me this morning. So I hope you can see an order of service for the second Sunday after Trinity. In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Blessed are you, Sovereign God, Creator of all. To you be glory and praise forever. You founded the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. In the fullness of time, you made us in your image. And in these last days, you have spoken to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. As we rejoice in the gift of your presence among us, let the light of your love always shine in our hearts. Your Spirit ever renew our lives, and your praises ever be on our lips. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever. The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. Amen. And our psalm today is Psalm 16, and we begin by saying the refrain together. The Lord is at my right hand, I shall not fall. Preserve me, O God, for in you have I taken refuge. I have said to the Lord, you are my God. All my good depends on you. All my delight is upon the godly that are in the land, upon those who are noble in heart. Though the idols are legion that many run after, their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, neither make mention of their names upon my lips. The Lord himself is my portion and my cup. In your hands alone is my fortune. My share has fallen in a fair land. Indeed, I have a goodly heritage. The Lord is at my right hand. I shall not fall. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel, and in the night watches he instructs my heart. I have set the Lord always before me. He is at my right hand. I shall not fall. Wherefore my heart is glad and my spirit rejoices. My flesh also shall rest secure. For you will not abandon my soul to death, nor suffer your faithful one to see the pit. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures for evermore. The Lord is at my right hand, I shall not fall. Give to us, Lord Christ, the fullness of grace, your presence and your very self. For you are our portion and our delight, now and forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
The first reading is from Galatians chapter 5. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not able to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We turn now to our responsory. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. You have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, and Christ shall give you light. When Christ, our life, appears, you will appear with him in glory. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light.
Second reading is from Luke chapter 9. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem, and he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then he and his disciples went to another village. The cost of following Jesus. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, Lord, first, let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. With Luke chapter 9, verse 51, the first verse in this morning's gospel reading, Luke begins a fresh section of his narrative, sometimes referred to as the travel narrative. This is an account of Jesus travelling towards Jerusalem to face his death. Each episode focuses on a bit of teaching about the kingdom of God or the life to come. The background context of today's stories are some Samaritan villages. The Samaritans were descendants of Gentile settlers and Israelites. They had been a thorn in the side of Jews for centuries. Jews viewed Samaritans as racially impure and religiously abhorrent. Jews publicly cursed Samaritans in the synagogues. Religious Jews would pray each day that Samaritans would be denied eternal life. No wonder Jews and Samaritans got on so well. The Samaritan centre of worship was in Samaria and rivaled the Jew centre of worship, which was Jerusalem. So it was hardly surprising that when Jewish pilgrims crossed Samaria on their way to Jerusalem, they were subjected to harassment and violence. But Jesus is no ordinary pilgrim. He is a rabbi, a teacher, and he is travelling to Jerusalem with his disciples, setting his face towards Jerusalem, knowing all that he was to face in Jerusalem, his death and his suffering. At this point, you would think that Jesus would be gathering more and more people to come to him. But no, at this point, Jesus doesn't attract crowds with a glossy sales pitch. Quite the opposite. He takes pains to push potential followers away. "I'll follow you wherever you go," shouts one would-be disciple. "I don't think so," says Jesus. "You have no idea what you are saying." The truth of the matter is that following Jesus is costly. It's not all soft, fluffy, and cuddly. It's not something that we can just fit in alongside everything else or pick it up and put it down when we want to, when it's convenient. So much of the time, I want God to fit in with my priorities. I want God to keep my life neat and tidy. I don't want God to shake things up. I want everything to be calm and cozy. And although I pray fervently that God will continue to change me so that I become more like Jesus Christ, if I'm honest, I would prefer for that transformation to happen while I'm asleep, without any degree of disruption to me or my usual routines and preferences. But that's not the gospel. That's not what being a disciple of Jesus means. Jesus's face is set towards Jerusalem. It's set looking towards the cross. And he asks us to follow. But he doesn't sugarcoat what that means. Luke tells us of four interactions between Jesus and his would-be followers in this week's gospel reading. Are you ready for this? Number one, Jesus makes his way towards Jerusalem. He sends messengers on ahead to prepare the way. Clearly, it was Jesus' intention to stop in the Samaritan village and to do what he had done in other villages: eat with people, tell stories, heal the sick, and talk of God's love. But that didn't happen. The villagers didn't welcome Jesus. In fact, they rejected him outright. When they knew that Jesus was heading towards Jerusalem, they showed him the same hostility as they would show any other Jewish traveller. In today's parlance, they cancelled him. I found myself wondering if they knew what they were missing. I wonder if they had any idea what they were rejecting. They were so caught up with their own prejudices, their own patterns of thinking and behaving, their centuries-old, deeply entrenched views, that they missed out on the transforming, life-giving presence of the Son of God. Are we like that? Would we welcome Jesus' presence with us this morning? Would we want to experience and learn new things? Or would we send him on his way before he had the chance to open his mouth? Probably, understandably, when James and John hear that Jesus has been spurned by the village, they are angry. Master, do you want us to call a bolt of lightning down out of the sky and incinerate them? But Jesus tells them off. Compelling people to come to the kingdom of God through fear and threat, hellfire and damnation is not the welcoming free gift of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How easy it is to allow spiritual zeal and fervor to tip the balance. Jesus came to bring life, not death, even to those who insult and reject us. He asks us to be gentle and gracious with one another. He calls us to be patient and kind, even to those people who we find deeply, deeply irritating, who make our blood boil, because the truth is, they too are precious to God. Jesus seems to accept that being rejected, being wounded and hurt are part of his journey to Jerusalem. And I suspect they are also part of being a follower of Jesus Christ. Of course, it is completely unacceptable when we are hurt and wounded, especially by the church. But for each of us, in the end, and however justice is achieved, what matters is how we react when we are hurt and wounded. Do we seek the way of love, which may be painful and sacrificial and costly, and seek justice and mercy, or let hatred, revenge and retaliation govern our hearts? Number two, following Jesus does not guarantee an easy life. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Following Jesus means having to reorder our priorities. It means letting go of some of the things we hold most dear. As the song goes, "All I once held dear, built my life upon, all this world reveres and wars to own, all I once thought gain, I have counted loss, spent and worthless now compared to this, knowing you, Jesus." It's so easy to sing the words. It's so easy to want, to really, really want to surrender everything to Jesus. But it's a complete and utter shock when he takes us up on what we've offered and asks us to do it. It's worth remembering that the Son of God, the creator of the universe, spent his adult life without a home. He was homeless. He was dependent on the hospitality and generosity of others. He didn't have loads of stuff. He had emptied himself of all the glories of heaven to become a human being and live amongst us. Number three, there are times when being a follower of Jesus will require us to make difficult decisions. Another passerby came up to Jesus. "Follow me," said Jesus. But he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." I don't know what you think about that, but to me that sounds harsh, really, really harsh. But maybe the point is that there are times when our loyalty to Jesus has to come first. When we are asked to do something which is completely countercultural, where we have to disappoint our families and our friends. You see, Jewish funeral and burial customs actually took about a year. First of all, the body was placed in a sealed tomb, and then 12 months later, the bones were collected and put in an ossuary or a bone box. In other words, the man in Luke's gospel was not going to follow Jesus for a considerable amount of time. "Let the dead bury their own dead," said Jesus. How can they? It's a pun. What the text actually means is, let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. Jesus wasn't suggesting that his followers should never take care of their families, only that there are times when following Jesus needs to be our top commitment. And finally, number four, one more traveller on the road offers to follow Jesus. I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at home. And Jesus reply, no one who puts a hand to the plough and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. We can't even say goodbye. Well, not if it causes us to hesitate, not if it causes us to procrastinate, not if it takes away our sense of urgency for the kingdom of God. I found myself thinking, how many times have I made the same excuse as the last traveller? Yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first of all, I need to. And that's the point. There's always the next thing. There's always something else. If we keep looking backwards rather than moving forwards, we'll never, ever get to where we need to be. This is a hard gospel reading, and Jesus doesn't spare his punches. He tells it as it is. So why do it? Why be a follower of Jesus Christ? Why be prepared to surrender everything? Because Jesus knows that we long to have purpose in our lives. We long to be transformed. We long for our restless spirits to find rest, resurrection, and renewal with God through Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. We know that nothing this world has to offer can truly satisfy. Nothing can compare with knowing Jesus. So Jesus calls us to follow him to Jerusalem, to choose to die with him so that we may truly live, knowing life in all its fullness. Amen.
Let us pray. Loving Father, in this week's gospel reading, we see Jesus responding to the situation he found himself in with calm. This week, we have seen some tension around the rail strike as people react to this situation and with potential for other pay disputes. We ask for calm and fair negotiations. We pray for those who mediate disputes and look to resolve them. May they listen carefully and speak with wisdom. We pray for patience, consideration, and kindness in talks, and ask that all involved find a resolution that works. We also pray for those who are anxious about the cost of living. Help all who are struggling and worried about what the future holds. Loving Father, bring calm in times of upset.
Listen to our prayer.
Loving Father, in this week's reading, when Jesus arrived in a village, he was not given a welcome. We live in a world full of displaced people, many of whom experience what it is like to be unwelcome. As reporting from places like Syria and Yemen moves down the news agenda, we know that you see everyone who has been forced to leave their home, everyone who has fled in terror, and everyone whose future is highly uncertain. Remind us to keep praying for people even when they no longer occupy the headlines. Thank you for the people who work diligently with refugees, for those who advocate for others and speak for people who have no voice. Loving Father, may those who have left their homes find welcome and a secure future.
Listen to our prayer.
Loving Father, in this week's reading, we see the call of Jesus requires us to pay wholehearted attention to the work of the kingdom. As we move through our week and around our neighbourhood, help us to notice the signs of the kingdom of God. We also pray for your kingdom to come here on earth. We pray for places that are suffering real unrest. We pray for Ukraine. We pray for miners in the Central African Republic under attack by mercenaries. We pray for people in India suffering flooding after monsoons. We pray for Afghanistan now suffering the after effects of an earthquake. We pray for people close to us finding life hard at the moment. Loving Father, bring your kingdom closer.
Listen to our prayer.
Loving Father, this week's reading shows us that we need to decide to follow Jesus. There is so much competition for our time and attention, social media, different streaming platforms, the 24-hour news cycle. With all that we juggle each week, help us to make space for Christ. Help us to prioritize our relationship with you, Lord, and make time to learn more and grow in prayer. We pray for our church. We pray that we would help each other in our journey of faith. And we pray for those who are unwell. Jack, Jen, Jennifer, Alan, Eileen, Rosemary, Ali, Brenda, Kathy, Olivia, Gerald, Cynthia, Rod, Pippa, Joe, Stephen, Dave, Jackie, Mary, Herbert, and Helen. And we pray for the family and friends of those who have recently died. Maurice Taylor, Mike Bassano, Alison Mallett, Angela Burrows, Leonard Reed. Loving Father, be with us this week as we follow you.
Listen to our prayer.
Collect for today. Lord, you've taught us that all our doings without love are nothing worth. Send your Holy Spirit and pour into our hearts that most excellent gift of love, the true bond of peace and of all virtues, without which whoever lives is counted dead before you. Grant this for your only Son, Jesus Christ's sake, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among us and remain with us and those whom we love and pray for today and always. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much for your company this morning. Thank you for joining us in worship. Thank you, Steve. I hope you have a good day and a blessed week. Any queries, Steve's in charge from now on. So good luck, everybody. And I'll see you in a fortnight's time. Have a good day. Bye-bye.